Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you need to summarize your class notes or want to create a recipe with the ingredients you already have in your fridge, Meta AI has the answers. You can also research topics, explore interests, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Hey, it's State of State. We got your Nittany line update. It's a football discussion with Tom and Justin, so kick back and press play.
With former Penn State and NFL defensive back Justin King, I'm Tom Hanifin. This is State of State. This podcast is presented by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of over 150 slots games. Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Don't forget to use our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. For your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. State of State is presented by BetOnline. The game starts here. Are you looking for a higher potential return on your savings? Turn to our sponsor, Save. As an SEC-registered investment advisor, Save safely combines the best parts of saving and investing with its market savings program. Market savings is a savings product that provides you with market returns instead of interest. The returns come from diversified investment portfolios based on your individual investment profile. The return from the investments is paid to you at the end of the selected investment term. But investing comes with risk, right? Well, with Save, your deposit is FDIC insured and never used for any investments. The current variable APYs are 9.07% for the one-year product and 7.9% for the five-year product. So, what does this cost you? Well, Save only charges a fee when your investments make you money. To learn more or to sign up, visit joinsave.com/state. That's joinsave.com/state. The link to the website is in the description of this podcast. State of State invites you to join Save.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to State of State. We have a lot of little things to touch on today, Penn State football news and notes. As we dive into June, obviously, we are all waiting for the season to start. And in the meantime, we're all going to hop on social media and get really, really angry about what the whiteout game could be in 2024. On top of that, in this episode, we've got some follow-up on the allegations against head coach James Franklin that we discussed last week here on the show, and the wrongful termination lawsuit that was filed by Dr. Scott Lynch. That has been settled. We have an update on that. Also, some former Penn State lettermen that have officially signed on with the program to assist in any way possible. And also some interesting details about the NCAA Rules Committee potentially permitting corporate logos on fields and perhaps patches on jerseys. I'd love to hear what Justin thinks about that. And then also on the field, Penn State's incoming freshmen, who are some people to look out for? There are certainly some intriguing names at some intriguing positions that we can dive into. So thank you for liking, commenting, subscribing, rating us, and turning on notifications. Check us out on social media on X, Instagram, TikTok, at State of State Pod. Justin, because we did an episode on this lawsuit last week, I think it's important for us to follow up on it. So this was settled within, I think, a few hours of the episode that we did dropping. So Dr. Scott Lynch has been awarded $5.25 million in punitive and compensatory damages in his wrongful termination lawsuit against Penn State Health. Lynch was fired in 2019 and cited allegations against Penn State head football coach James Franklin of meddling with the medical staff. PSU Health is apparently pondering an appeal. James Franklin early in this process was attached to this lawsuit. He is no longer attached to the lawsuit. Obviously, it's concluded and the appeals process can play out. So he was removed from it, and that allowed Lynch to specifically target Penn State Health. That is a big number, and obviously the issues surrounding James Franklin, there's not going to be direct punitive or compensatory damages that go to James Franklin. He was named within this suit, and obviously the allegations that he was trying to get players cleared, and obviously the incredibly challenging circumstance and heartbreaking circumstance of a player potentially attempting suicide at one point. And there's a lot of he said, she said in this situation. So we are in no way trying to take the side of one or the other. But in the end, this is settled for a huge number for Dr. Scott Lynch. Any reaction to this news? And if you're James Franklin, are you just kind of glad this is put to bed for now and maybe potentially learn something from this entire situation, good and bad?
I mean, just based on the climate of everything and where we are in the calendar, I think it's good that it's behind us as a program. That's what I would be thinking if I was James, and kind of just moving forward into the season and trying to, you know, get into the playoffs. Because at this moment, I mean, again, he's not, his name's not actually in the suit. So to move forward and focus on what you can control is the only thing you can do at this moment.
And by no means trying to sweep this under the rug or anything like that. These are very serious allegations that were thrown out there, and this is an ever-evolving landscape within college football, and we're going to touch on that a little bit more here. But that's the update there with the Lynch trial, so to speak, or not a lawsuit, I think is a better way to put it. Let's get to the subject matter that's been all over social media for the last few days, and it's been some discussion about Penn State football's whiteout game in 2024. Now, as of the time we're recording this, the game itself has not been decided, to our knowledge, in terms of Penn State football picking a game saying this is going to be the whiteout. However, some information has come out per Brett McMurphy of Action Network in terms of, according to his sources, the preferred primetime lineup per NBC. The only home game for Penn State on that preferred lineup is September 28th, Illinois at Penn State. This is something you and I have discussed in the past. Big noon kickoff on Fox. Obviously, with it being at noon, they prefer to have their biggest games at 12 p.m. Eastern. We've already seen Penn State versus West Virginia to open the season on the road at West Virginia is going to be a part of big noon kickoff. One can speculate that the home game against UCLA, the home game against Washington, and the home game against Ohio State will all potentially get picked up by Fox, as those are bigger matchups. And again, it depends on how the season plays out for Penn State. Those can get flexed to CBS, ESPN, the Big Ten Network. But there is this discussion happening right now in social media amongst Penn State fans of, has the Penn State whiteout game been damaged by Fox specifically and big noon kickoff? What do you think?
I mean, damaged, or I won't say commoditized, because it's just, you don't have much control over it anymore, right? So when you just think of, like, okay, we know that the whiteout's going to be a game against either Michigan, Ohio State, or whoever that important game is that year at night, rocking through the stadium, like, that's just not a guarantee anymore. So I mean, if you want to take away the expectations of what you think a whiteout is going to be, I guess you can say that it damaged it from that standpoint. But I don't know. Like, you can have a great whiteout atmosphere, maybe possibly at noon, or a big time kickoff. I don't know. We got to just see what comes with this new age of football. Like, I think the whole context changes, right? Because I think now that, you know, you bring USC and different games into that, like, not that the whiteout's not as important, but I mean, having that event is still, it's still very important, but I just don't think it messed it up at this moment, right? I don't think we can say that.
It's certainly home field advantage because it is a raucous environment, but you remember the early days of the whiteout. It was an organic fan movement deciding, we're playing Ohio State, it's a night game, College Game Day from ESPN is going to be there, we're doing a whiteout. Now, yes, it does feel like it's out of the control of Penn State football fans, and that sucks. And then on top of that, it's like, does the whiteout from an aesthetic standpoint, from an optical standpoint, mean as much when you do it in broad daylight at noon versus at night? And you played in these games, so you tell me.
I mean, We did the one whiteout against Notre Dame. It was essentially during the daytime going into night versus. Now, the night is just a completely different atmosphere when you're like, it's nighttime and the only thing that you see is a sea of white jerseys or white t-shirts and the pom-poms going off. So, yeah, I think you can't match the night atmosphere, but just depending on. Yeah, you just can't match the night atmosphere. Yeah, it was stink to play at noon. I guess I'm looking at like just different games, right? If like USC is played at noon and it's to go to the playoffs, like those are big games. I mean, some of the showdowns with Ohio State and Michigan are some of the most exciting games, and those are typically at noon, right? Or daytime games. So maybe it's just ushering in a new age of, you know, what we see these big time games are, but. Yeah, you can't beat a night whiteout game.
Well, and especially, you know, this is that when you tell players like, hey, the game's TBD, and then you know it's a big game because of the opponent or the records or the stakes or the rivalry, whatever, and somebody's like, it's a night game, you get a little bit more jacked up, right?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Night games are special in college football because you get to play in the afternoon, all those different things, but. Yeah, night games are special, especially when you have a big game on the schedule.
Now, last year, the whiteout game was against Iowa in September. At the time, early in the season, one of the bigger games that Penn State got to play at home. But then later in the season, hosting Michigan, that was on Big Noon Kickoff, played at 12 p.m. Eastern, Penn State did a stripe out, which you and I talked about was kind of like a sneaky whiteout, that stripe that went from the east side of the west side of the stadium, just right down the middle. And it was basically a whiteout and the fans were up for it. So it's like, I'm not saying that there should be, hey, this is like your silver medal, you should do this or whatever, but it is all about how excited the fan base is for the game. So if you want to do a whiteout and you want to be jacked up for it, be jacked up for it, be enthusiastic, provide that home field advantage. But it really bugs me as a fan that it's like, we're going to do this against freaking Illinois in September. Like, and Illinois, listen, that was a competitive game last year. Like, Illinois has the potential to build on what they did last year and give Penn State a challenge. I remember attending that freaking 9 overtime game years ago. So you never know with Illinois. I'm not saying that that's nearly as important as Penn State versus Ohio State or Penn State versus Washington late in the year, where both teams potentially could be jockeying for college football playoff positioning or even to get in. To me, it does diminish this, the fact that you're just giving it, you're just doing it to do it, essentially. And it's like, yeah, this is the game that NBC would like. This is the game that Fox would like. I don't know. For me, I grew up going to these games, and when I was a student camping out in Paternoville, now Nittanyville, to be there first in line to go to the whiteout games and experience that atmosphere at night for the biggest game of the year, to do it against an opponent that at this point in the year it feels like is beatable at home in September when the stakes are low, it diminishes it.
I mean, yeah, all those facts and context around that, it doesn't match up to a night game against the biggest opponent or whatever, like important game of the season. So again, but a lot of things are changing, right? Like the way that format has worked, we never made a playoff game. So like, I don't know what if this new situation, like we go deeper into the playoffs and like the night game that everybody's excited about is in the playoffs. So I'm just looking at it from a whole totality of just entering a new, let's say, vortex of college football. So like everything of the past and the context of what we saw, maybe it was just like night games or just predetermined to think that night whiteout games are, you know, the best thing ever, but we're just playing different schedules with different things on the line now. So like, I think the value of the games is going to continue to shift. But with that being said, I'm obviously a night atmosphere at a whiteout game is elite, right? It's like a great, great thing, hard to recreate, but I just think the stakes are raising. So like to get all wrapped up or which game we were all white to as a fan base, I think is an obstacle that we have to get over, but like focus on having the best team and playing deep and getting to that playoffs. Cause now it's just the important shifts, I believe, going into this new age.
Agreed. And also
I grew up in an era where the fans decided this. So I don't know at what year it was just, oh, the football team is like, this game's a whiteout. This game's a stripeout. This one's a checkerboard. What? That. Like, if you want it to be a whiteout, then do a fucking whiteout. Like, why are we listening to the university and saying, like, oh, this game's a whiteout or something like that because Fox said so or because we said so or something like that? If you care as a fan base, at the time, I remember as a kid, it was word of mouth. So if you want it to be a whiteout, make it one. Make the atmosphere what you want it to be. It is a bucket list experience in all of college football and has been for a long time. So don't let this go away if you care about it.
That's a very great point. And I will say, that's a great point. But I will say, Guido, who started the whiteout, because it started when I was
Guido D'Elia, fantastic.
There we go. But he had a nice little process where you start off with a group of fans where you're bringing them in to the process of what's going on. So when we talk about this whole transition of what you're saying, I think is highlights the greater point that I'm trying to shed light on is that we're entering like just the commercialization of like college sports. So when you're talking about it was like an organic thing that was kind of homegrown, then it became the greatest show on turf or like a college atmosphere. Now this is a marketing ploy. Now this is something that we can get. Now that's when the university starts to own it. That's when the university starts to make the decisions on when can we pull this trigger. And now that with the money's coming from the TV contracts and the media rights, now they get to pull the trigger. So like I think what you're highlighting is like, yeah, who's making the decision and who are we catering to in this new age? And so like in that phase, like it was the fans, it was all this, and that was what we wrapped our minds around. And if we got to the playoffs, we got to the playoffs, but you win the whiteout game, it gets you on this high. And it's just like, all right, well, are we going to get into this playoffs? Because we got to spend $22 million somewhere on these athletes. We got to get this money back in and do all these different type of things, more games. And so like that whiteout game, now you think about a $700 million stadium and just start throwing all these different equations into kind of what's going forward. You start to see that like, oh, is the fan demand or just catering to the fan preference the number one thing of the university or the institution or the media, right? Because at the point it's just like, no, we got to get the games, we got to get the matchups, and we got to continue to push this thing out, and it works.
Yeah, right? It works, like, and it's revenue, it's ratings, and what the customer thinks sometimes is not the number one priority.
Sucks.
It does stop. I'm 35 and I just don't want things to, I like the things that I grew up with. I don't want them to change. On that point about the business side of this, and I was very curious what you think about this, and I'm sure you can imagine where I'm going to land on this. There's a story out there that the NCAA Rules Committee has been discussing whether or not to permit corporate logos on fields and perhaps patches on jerseys. I'm okay with a corporate logo on the field because you already have like the name of the stadium sometimes, and you already have the conference on there in certain schools. Penn State is very, very old school, and then it just says Penn State in the end zone. There's nothing on the field. So I can understand how most Penn State fans would be like, that's not okay. I'm not even okay with the Big Ten logo being out there. Totally get that. I wouldn't be that bothered by it because that has become very commonplace, whether it's in pro football, and you have seen it in other sports for sure. So it's just kind of normal. I get that college football doesn't do it. Why is it though, Justin, that as a fan, the concept of putting a advertiser's logo on a jersey drives me insane?
The commercialization of the sport, right? Everybody gets into the sport for different reasons. And I think everyone gets into it from a purity standpoint of coming together, watching competition, seeing gladiators compete. And then there's an essence of, oh, like there's money involved and like the business aspect or the commercialization is like a little icky and nasty, like you're being sold something, right? That's why a lot of common fans don't like the highest paid players, essentially, right? Because it's like, oh, they're about the money, they're about doing this. And so it's like, I'm here to enjoy the sport, the show that's being put on. So I think when you see advertisers on their jerseys, I think there's nothing that you can turn away from and say, hey, this company is marketing to me right now when I'm just trying to watch the game. I'm just trying to watch the game and I'm getting a Twix or a Nabisco advertising.
Right. I don't need a Squarespace ad or something like that.
Or Rocket Mortgage, right? From Michigan State. So something like that. I mean, So I think that's why you feel that way. But I mean, they, yeah, I want to say when I was in the NFL, we had logos on our practice jerseys. And
yes.
Even when I remember being at the XFL, like we just think about bringing in revenue. And like, again, we think about this $22 million where a lot of these different ideas of revenue generation are going to come from. It's like, you got to think they're trying to figure out ways to still pay these players from the university, from NIL and all these different ways, and like ways of just think of different avenues or funnels of money. And corporate sponsorship on a jersey is a pretty easy already implemented type of, you know, system. So it only makes sense, but it gets nasty. That's like AAA baseball type stuff.
Well, I mean, it's on my hat right now. There's a Nike swoosh. There's a Nike swoosh on Penn State football jerseys. There's the Penn State logo, obviously.
I think manufacturing companies are like, from that standpoint, is a little different than the advertising, right? Because it's going to be like, oh, Pepsi.
But you remember the early days of when that was first implemented, and fans were kind of like, why do I need to see the Nike swoosh on here? And it was revolutionary, but it was just kind of accepted, I think.
Yeah, probably.
But I agree with you. Manufacturer of the uniform itself versus, I don't know, Utz, you know, having a big patch on the shoulder or something like that. And I don't know.
BP gas.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, it's like, I understand that things are probably going this way. And realistically, Penn State could use the NIL dollars. So I'm like, cool, like that could be really beneficial. Look at University of Memphis got a huge amount of money from FedEx in particular, and a lot of money to the basketball program, football program as well. So I'm curious how much of FedEx you're going to see if you tune in, for instance, for a Memphis game.
It's an easy sell to big corporations to market their brand or advertise on our jerseys in front of X amount of people, in front of the Big Ten, where we get 20 million people, 20 million eyes on your logo. It's an easy sell, especially when you need money. So everything's for sale.
Yeah. Well, and the other layer to this is Penn State has had such plain, simple, traditional uniforms for so long. I don't see that changing. I hope it doesn't change. It can be a little dull at times, but
they can get enough money from somewhere else to keep the logos off. I mean, there's always that option.
Exactly. That would be great. That would be really great, Justin, if that would happen. That would help everybody out.
A lovely Penn State owned company where, or someone, like, you know, owner that's a Penn State alumni was like, hey, I'll pay this much to keep logos off. But I think
I'd love to meet that person.
Outside of that, I think you're going to see logos on Penn State stuff.
State of State is a proud supporter of Blue White Outfitters. Blue White Outfitters was created as a retail shop meant to highlight the confidence, competitiveness, and fearlessness of the elite athletes found throughout the history of Penn State University. Check out their Lockdown U and Lawn Boys merchandise today. All sales from Blue White Outfitters directly benefit Penn State student athletes. Visit www.bluewhiteoutfitters.com today.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shifting to the team away more from the business of football and all those sorts of things, but shifting to the team, some interesting hires. And I talked about it earlier in terms of former Penn State Letterman now being a part of Penn State Athletics or specifically the Penn State football team. So first off, Michael Motti, legendary Penn State linebacker who we've had here on the show multiple times, friend of the show, the former All-American linebacker, helped organize the football program's first NIL collective. He has joined Penn State Athletics Department in a full-time role. Motti has been named as an associate director of development with the Nittany Lion Club, the chief fundraising arm of athletics. The Nittany Lion Club raises money for scholarships, capital projects, and endowments through its member-based organization. Michael Motti, I think, is a great hire for this specific role in particular. I think the world of Michael, and on top of that, what he has done from a charitable standpoint, his family's foundation, he is suited for this type of role and obviously understands the Penn State community. Do you have any more insight potentially on what Michael is doing, you know, day to day, but overall how you feel about the hire?
Yeah, I think it's a great hire having someone that has a football background, that has familiarity with NIL, especially when they're going to be raising money. Probably a lot of his job is going to be around raising funds for the stadium and telling the story of why it's needed, X, Y, and Z. But yeah, I think it's a great hire. But I think he basically is just going to be reaching out and trying to raise money for the school.
And attached to Motti, former Penn State Letterman and Motti's coworker, I guess we can put it that way. They're both coaches as a part of Trinity High School in the greater Harrisburg area, if I'm not mistaken. I'm blanking on the exact. You would know better than I. But Jordan Hill, who was a defensive lineman at Penn State from 2009 to 2012, has been named the new director of life skills for the Nittany Lions, specifically with the football team. That's a unique title altogether. How do you feel about that one?
I think it's a great hire. I mean, that's a rock star type of hire. Someone has been through the ringer of sports and transitioned out, been successful in sports, done it with honor, and even, you know, understands from the standpoint of like from the coaching background, guiding boys to men, and then I'm being able to help these guys at Penn State from a life skill standpoint, understanding what they're going after from their dream from their dreams of playing professional football or maximizing their football career, but also being respectable men in the community and moving forward in life. And I think he's a great person to help direct and lead them in that endeavor.
We were trying to get Jordan on the show at one point, and he is the, I believe
big
he's
time,
still the-
he big timed us, I think.
I believe he's still the head coach for Trinity High School, so he was otherwise disposed, but we'd love to get him on Motti back on here at some point. Focusing on the Penn State football roster this time of year is obviously heavily focused on recruiting, but specifically incoming freshmen are finally getting on campus, the 2024 class. Some names that have just arrived: offensive lineman Donovan Harbor, running back Corey Smith, safety Dewan Lane. A handful of other freshmen are already on campus and are still waiting to get their official uniform numbers per gopsusports.com. The names that keep coming up, however, are the ones that are incoming that people are really excited about. In particular, still yet to arrive on campus, Tysier Denmark and Kenny Woseley. But a lot of the focus from Penn State football fans has been on Tysier Denmark and Peter Gonzalez, another friend of the show. You and I have had on here before, great episode with him, and you work with him closely as a part of LIG Sports. So Peter and Tysier are getting a lot of attention, one, because they're outstanding athletes. Two, Peter, we've had here on the show, outstanding kid, comes from a good family. I know you've worked with him closely, but specifically the excitement around Denmark and Gonzalez is because the wide receiver room has struggled over the last few years. Your feelings on Peter and obviously the hype around Tysier Denmark, because a lot of people are looking at him as he could be that guy, that special player when he does get here and really could make a difference in that wide receiver room.
No, I think the ceiling's high for both of those guys. I think Ty Sayre probably being a little bit more developed than Peter is, but Peter just being a physical specimen that has a very high ceiling. And I think he's starting to hit that turbo booster to really starting to fill out his potential from a size, speed, and just football player standpoint. And then, I mean, I've seen Ty Sayre, so I think there's an opportunity with these guys to continue to jump in the receiver room, make an immediate impact, and be, whether it's a go-to type of receiver or a big play type of threat that the receiver room has been lacking. So I think that's why you see the spotlight getting shined on those two names a lot, especially coming in, I mean, highly touted, right?
Ty Sayre especially has had some very interesting camps and has really gotten a lot of people's eyes as of late. Really high production, seems like he could be a guy, but it's just like, I just don't get too jacked up about hype and recruiting for high school players, because we just got done talking about King Mack and it's like, oh man, he could have been great, and then gone before we really understood what the player, what the production really could have been. So it's like, cool, love the hype, like the excitement. Obviously talking to Peter, getting an insight there, understanding what he's all about. I hope he really contributes at Penn State. But I personally, individually, I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I'm not going to anoint an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid that just hasn't necessarily gotten here yet. It's like, oh, this guy's going to save the wide receiver room. It's like,
right.
I hope. That'd be cool. But like,
he probably should. But yeah.
Just trying to be rational about some things that just as fans, we can be irrational. So,
you know, of course.
Thank you all for joining us this week on State of State. Hop in the comments section, get at us on social media. Tell us what you think about the whiteout game and how things are going with that. Obviously, we're waiting to see what that actual announcement is going to be, but you guys know my feelings about that. Take the power back. You know what I mean? Your feelings on the incoming freshmen altogether. And as we're getting closer and closer to the season, kickoff against West Virginia, there's a lot of excitement. I'm really looking forward to this upcoming season. And oh, by the way, talking about the whiteout, Justin, I don't know if you've seen the video for the EA college football game, which is going to be out in July, and the preview of how the whiteout environment looks in gameplay. Were you big into that video game when you were younger?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Impact player, baby.
Yes, absolutely. Of course. I'm sorry I didn't have all your stats handy from the video.
No. They were pretty elite stats on the video game, man.
but like, did you see the video of the whiteout?
It looked pretty sweet. Yeah.
It's pretty wild. That's pretty
the whole cool. game, the game looks legit. The
game looks awesome. Yeah.
Think about coming out of retirement.
just to get that NIL check, just get
just to be able to play is what I'm saying, out of the video game.
Oh, time. I see. Were you any good when you were younger? Or?
I was very good. You're more very so in 2K. I was a 2K guy. 2K Call of Duty.
Oh, I got it. Oh, okay, interesting. All right, we might need to link up online at some point. All right. Okay. Anyway, thank you all very much for joining us. Have a great week.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This episode and our entire library of shows is available now on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, let us know what you think of the show on social media and check out all of our content on X, Instagram, and TikTok. Search for the handle at State of State Pod. State of State is presented by Bet Online and by Blue White Outfitters.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next, you need the team to act on feedback fast. So you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/retro now for a free business plan trial to unlock advanced retro tools like private mode, voting, and two-way Jira syncing. That's Miro.com/retro now.
It's okay if you aren't ready for kids right now. It's okay if you don't want to be a mom now or even ever. It's nobody's decision but yours. But do you know what's not okay?
not knowing how effective your birth control is. Talk to your doctor about effective birth control options so you can make an informed decision. Tap to learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.